Let's pray. Father God, you are the author, the creator, the sustainer of everything. That means each one of our lives, each blade of grass, each flower that shows forth your beauty and your glory, your majesty. And you, O God, have brought us here this morning. What must you have in store for us, Lord? What must you be doing and want to do in our lives, Lord? Father, as we open your word, would you please speak to us? Speak to our hearts and our heads. Would you please shape us and form us that as we leave here, we would reflect your name, Lord, but we would also go knowing that you are with us. Your word is truth, Father. I pray that you give us faith this morning to believe you and what you say to us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. The plan for now is that for this week and next week, we'll continue on in the book of Exodus, looking to get to the end of chapter 14, when the Israelites are finally across the Red Sea. And then take a few weeks to look at Vacation Bible School, at the passages from Vacation Bible School. We want to kind of share that with all of us as you all are praying for Vacation Bible School, but also for our volunteers who will be here. Give us a chance to get introduced to the scriptures that we'll be sharing and teaching to the children the week of July 9th through the 13th. So then we'll take a little pause in the book of Exodus, but we will come back to it. After VBS, the two VBS Sundays or sermons, we're going to begin a short study for this summer on spiritual warfare. The realities of the fact that we live in a spiritual world, but that there also, we live in a physical world, but there also is a spiritual reality also. And we tend to do one of two things with the spiritual reality, the spiritual world, that is completely ignore it, or spend too much focus on it. But we want to have a biblical focus and live biblically in our understanding of the spiritual world that is around us and that we actually are part of because of Jesus. So we'll be doing that. After that, as we come into the fall, right now the plan we're looking at will be doing a series on the Lord's Prayer. I'll spend some time going through the Lord's Prayer in detail and really asking the Lord to help us understand prayer more and that our prayer lives would be really enriched and blessed. So that's the idea. But for now, we're continuing on in the book of Exodus. This extended section here, the 10 plagues, but now the actual Exodus itself, it takes place over many, many chapters. And we are in the middle of that. This morning, we'll be studying from chapter 13. So turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. We will look at verses 1 through 22, which is the whole chapter 13. In this time, I pray that we would remember the Lord, who He is, and what He has done. That's a familiar theme. Looked at that last week, but again, that we would remember the Lord, who He is, and what He has done. For that is what He is blessing His people, the Israelites, with He's equipping them that they would remember Him all of their lives. Excuse me. Still wrestling with some allergies here, sorry. Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male, The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land He swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast. And on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with His mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as He promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offering, the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem a lamb with every firstborn donkey. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with His mighty hand. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is God's word. God is blessing us, blessing His people by announcing with words, by in His word, the Bible, and also by establishing practices and ceremony in our lives that we would remember the Lord. To remember Him doesn't just mean in our brains to remember that there is a Lord, but to remember who He is and all of His character, to remember what He has done, to remember what He promises to do, and to live our lives in that memory. To live our lives with that reality, because it changes everything when we know who the Lord is, what He has done, and what He has promised to do. And this passage in verses 1 and 2, first, God gives the Israelites, His people, a ceremony, a ritual that they are to consecrate unto the Lord every firstborn male. To consecrate to the Lord every firstborn male, whether human or animal. The firstborn male belongs to the Lord. It is His. Now, everything is His. But this is symbolic here, that the firstborn male belongs to the Lord. For, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, the Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt," so this is before Moses had gone back to Egypt, before he had gone to Pharaoh, this is at the burning bush, "The Lord said to Moses, 'When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go, so that he may worship me.'" God calls Israel His firstborn. And this is all the picture here pointing forward to Jesus. Jesus, who is God's firstborn son, who is going to fulfill all that Israel, all that God's people were called to be, all that they were called to obey God, to follow God's word, to live sinless lives, which we all have failed. And in Jesus, God's Son, it is all fulfilled and it is all true. And we, as God's people, as His firstborn, because of our sin, we need to be redeemed. We need to be bought back. We need to be consecrated to the Lord. And instead of us experiencing the consequence of our sin, which is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin are death. God replaces, redeems us, buys us back from death by offering His firstborn son in our place. All these various images here that God uses, that Jesus is the true Passover lamb, that Jesus is the one who redeems us back from death by giving His life as a sacrifice for us. And so, as Israel goes about their life, every time a firstborn male is born, they are to consecrate him to the Lord. And instead of offering them as a sacrifice, we redeem them, a child, with a sacrifice of a lamb. You redeem back your son. Later on, actually, the firstborn sons of Israel are redeemed back by the Levites. The Levites now are consecrated to the Lord, and they are the ones who are to serve God full-time. Instead of the firstborn son of every family, they are redeemed back into their family so that the Levites fulfill that role. We consecrate the firstborn male. Now, in this consecration here, firstborn females were exempt, but not firstborn males of animals. They were part of this that needed to be consecrated to the Lord. It's not because of any different value in men and women at all. It wasn't because men were more important. Not at all. There's neither male nor female in Christ. But this is a picture, a symbolism here, pointing forward to Jesus, who is the Son of God, to consecrate every firstborn male. Second, God says that they are to commemorate, to celebrate God's salvation. Verses 3 through 7. Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And part of that, as we've been seeing again and again, this is a big deal to God, that they are for 7 days not to eat anything with yeast in it. Because when they left Egypt, when God saved them from slavery, when He brought them out of Egypt, He did it so quickly that they didn't have time to let the bread rise, the yeast arise. They had to take the bread as it was without yeast in it because it was so quick that God's saving hand came. And so for 7 days, they are to remember. So again, this is what's happening. This is still celebrated. For 7 days, you and your family and your whole community come together and you have no yeast in your house. And only bread you eat is very different bread that doesn't have any yeast in it. So every meal you are holding, consuming, smelling reminders of how God saved you. Isn't that beautiful how God set that up? He involves all of the senses here, makes it part of our everyday life, remembering in very, very tangible ways God saves His people. God is for us. And He is active and mighty to save. And then on the seventh day, as our Jewish neighbors are so good at doing, they are to party. They are to celebrate. They're to have a festival to the Lord at the end of this commemorating God's saving hand. They rejoice. They rejoice in the Lord because of how He saved them. Third, not only do we consecrate our firstborn, not only do we commemorate God's salvation, we also confess to our children. We tell to our children, to the next generation, what God has done. Verses 8 through 10. Excuse me. On that day, tell your son, I do this, the consecration, the commemoration of the 7 days and then the festival of Passover. I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For, because the Lord brought you out of Egypt with His mighty hand, you must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. God is commanding us, because He loves us, because He wants to bless us, that as we go about with these living reminders, living pointers to who God is and what He has done, how He has saved us, His people, that we are to verbally share that and confess that with our children. And we, as part of this community here, our children are our community, that we speak to them. Why do we do this? I'm about to speak into something I'm not an expert on. You should all be very nervous. But I believe, as part of the Passover meal and celebration, at least one of the songs that we have talks about and says, why is this night so different? And part of the liturgy that goes with the Passover meal in families, that the children ask, why is this night so different from others? And goes through a number of different ways. It's the children asking, what is this all about? And then the parents and family members telling, this is what the Lord has done. Why are we doing this? Because God saved us. God passed over our houses. And so we celebrate the Passover of what God has done, how God has saved us and blessed us. And we're to tell our children. We're to tell the next generation. We're to tell others who maybe didn't have anyone to tell them when they were children. God saves His people. He comes through powerfully for us. And we are to confess that with our mouths. Well, then this next section, an extended section here in verses 11 through 16, God says all those things again. He repeats Himself. Probably because I'm a little slow, and so I need to hear it again and again and again. And so God does that. He actually repeats again these same characteristics, these same commands that He's called out to us in verses 11 through 16. First, He says to consecrate. In verses 11 through 13, it says, when the Lord brings you into the land, you're to give over to the Lord the firstborn of every womb. Well, you just said that, God. Yep, but I'm going to say it again to remind you again. God's beautiful repetition for us. Consecrate every firstborn male. He has this interesting line here in verse 13. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. A donkey was an unclean animal, so you couldn't offer the donkey as a sacrifice. So instead, you would redeem back the donkey with a lamb, so the lamb could be sacrificed instead. And it says, if you do not redeem it, break its neck. In other words, this is to be held for the whole community. You can't just say, nah, I don't want to do it. You have to. This is God's mighty reality within which the whole community is to dwell. Consecrate the firstborn. He also then says, commemorate. In verse 15, this is what the father is saying, but as they're doing this, when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the firstborn male offspring of every womb. What are we doing here? These actions. We're commemorating. We're commemorating what God has done by bringing us out of slavery, by saving His people. And then we are to confess to our children. Once again, he puts in verses 14 and 15 that when our son says to us, why are you doing this? We are to tell him because God saved us with His mighty hand. It's these same things. Consecrate, commemorate, confess. In fact, he even then ends these two tellings of what we are to do with the same language. At the end of verse 9, he said, these actions are to be a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead. And then he says that again in verse 16, to be a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead. That these things are to help us remember the Lord. Remember God, who He is, and what He has done. Then in the next section of chapter 13, they're preparing to cross the Red Sea. First, in verses 17 and 18, we see that God leads His people. What does God do? God leads His people. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them through the short way, because He knew they'd have to go through war, going through the cities of the Philistines, that they would face war and it would discourage them. So God sent them on a longer road, but one that He knew would bless them the most, would protect them the most. It's a beautiful picture of what God does for His people. He knows the road ahead. He knows the days, the years, the decades ahead, and He leads us. He leads us in ways that don't always make sense to us. Isn't that true? There's sometimes when we're like, God, why? Why are you sending me through this? Why, Lord? Wouldn't it be so much easier to have this happen? And it's hard at those times to really trust the Lord. It's easy to trust the Lord when things are fine and things are going well and things are easy. But when things are hard, can we trust that God is leading us? We'll see, it's not in this passage, but the way God led His people was right up to the Red Sea. And they looked behind them and they got some problems coming after them. At that point, I would probably join with the Israelites in grumbling and saying, Lord, You made a bad choice. Why did You let this happen? But it was to bless the Israelites, to bless His people. Why? Because God leads us. Next, in verse 19, we see that God is faithful to His promises. God always keeps His promises. Always. In verse 19, it says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. 450 years ago, that happened. 450 years ago, Joseph, trusting God, knowing what God had promised to bless His people and to make them a blessing to the whole world as they're sitting in Egypt, not even slaves yet, Joseph, by faith, says, trust in the Lord. And here's how you're going to show it. I'm telling you right now, you must promise me that when you leave Egypt, when you leave Egypt, because I know God's going to deliver you, when you do, bring my bones with me. Because I want to be buried in my own land, not in the land of Egypt. This is Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Spent, I think, 18 years, I think, not sure, I'm not remembering well, in jail. And then God saved, for a crime he didn't commit. And then God saved him out of that. He ended up being the second most powerful person of all of Egypt and used him in that position to save not only Egypt, but also his family and his people as well. It's this Joseph who said, God's going to take you out of here. And when you do, promise me you'll take my bones. And so this one verse here, 19, is showing that the people kept their promise, but it's a fulfillment of God's promise. That God promised to bring them out. It didn't feel like God was going to keep His promises for much of that 450 years. That wasn't the felt experience reality for much of that time. But how we feel about our circumstances is powerful. I'm not denying that. But it does not determine God's hand. God is faithful to His promises. And finally in this passage, verses 20 to 22, we see God is present with His people. After they leave and they're marching on, it says that God was with them. He went with them in the day as a pillar of cloud for them to follow. He went with them at night as a pillar of fire for them to follow. God was always before them. Always before them. He was always with them. The people of Israel could look at any time of day or any time of night and say, God is with us. The cloud and the fire represent the presence of God. God is with us. As Jesus has promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. There is nowhere we can go. There is no circumstance we can get ourselves into where we can be apart from God, even if we try. Because God is present with us always and forever. Remember the Lord. And so in this passage, God calls us to remember. To remember God, who He is, what He has done, and what He has promised to do. If I could summarize into four sections here, of what God is calling us to remember. In verses 1 through 16, remember God's salvation, that God saves His people. In verses 17 and 18, that God's leading us. God is leading us. In verse 19, that God is faithful to all of His promises, including the covenant in Jesus to keep us as His children forever. And fourth, in verses 20 through 22, remember that God is present with us today, tomorrow, this week, everywhere we go, everything we go through. How does that change our lives? How will we live differently as we remember these truths that God powerfully wants to weave into our understanding, into our souls, into our daily existence? As we remember God's salvation, as we remember God is leading us, as we remember that God is faithful, and as we remember that God is present, what will we go through this week? What is before us? Some of you know. Some of you have joyful things to look forward to today or this week. And as you celebrate, and as you rejoice, rejoice also in the Lord, that He has saved us and is leading us, that He is faithful to us, and that He is present with us. Some of us, we look forward, we know things that are coming that are going to be very difficult. Maybe you're going to spend time with family today, and that's not the happiest situation. That there is going to be sorrow and struggle and strife and challenge. Maybe you're the family that put the fun in dysfunction. God has saved you. God is leading you into and through that family time. God is faithful to you, and God is present with you. Maybe you have doctor's appointments that are going to be difficult. Maybe you have finances that are difficult. God saves you through faith in Jesus Christ. God leads you every step of every day. God is faithful to you and to His Word, and God is with you. And maybe for most of us, there are things that we don't even know about yet that we're going to walk through, joys and sorrows. We won't be alone. It won't be a mistake. God's not going to go back on who He is and what He has promised. And in all of this week, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you walk into it saved, redeemed, born again, adopted by God as His child, with your name written in the book of life. It means that our destiny is eternity in heaven with Jesus. Let us remember the Lord, who He is, what He has done, and what He has promised to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank You that You have established for us so many ways to remember You, to know You, to walk in You, to be in relationship with You, to experience You, O God. Thank You that You redeemed all of us. Firstborn, secondborn, son, daughter, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ by sending Your Son to the cross for us. that all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved by your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you are leading us through this day and every day. Thank you that you are faithful to your word, to yourself, to us, your people. That we are saved and that we are kept in your family, not by our faithfulness, but by yours. And thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are with us. Please, Lord, may these realities be lived and experienced and felt by us, your people, this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.